Peter Madsen and I are now looking forward to answering your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone. And please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. So again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sven Weiser, UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It's Sven from UBS. Three questions, please. The first one is if you could give us some more color again on Swisslog. Obviously, you mentioned you had a big order there. Would be interested on what grounds you won the order, what differentiated you maybe from your next competitors, what you think really made the difference there, and also if you could quantify or qualify the pipeline you have. Do you generally see a very active environment for those kind of solutions, or was it more of a kind of a one-off? And then also the same question basically on systems, obviously surprisingly very active in Q2. So what do you foresee here for the second half, and maybe also give us a kind of a perspective for the book-to-bill ratio you see for the year for the company as a whole. Obviously, the H1 was very good at 1.2, so I suspect it's probably going to be anywhere between 1 and 1.1 for the year. And then the last point, you mentioned regulatory conversations that you had started. I was just wondering if you already had some, you know, further insight into CFIUS. Obviously, we had another deal that was blocked by them the other day, and I was just wondering if you still, as you said, you were confident, but I was just wondering if you had any further insight into CFIUS specifically. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the market side. I think on the Swisslog, what we have done in the last quarters was investing into R&D. And I think on this particular deal, which we cannot announce, it was a long process, and we can't convince the customer of our offering. And I think what we are doing here is we increase the R&D, we increase the available products, and therefore I think what we see is a strong pipeline in the logistics side, and also here, also a very strong second half year for Swisslog. What you have also seen is a very active environment that logistics and production are getting closer together. You've seen two transactions being announced on the logistics side. And I think what we have done with Swisslog now more than 2 years ago, exactly it was the same direction a little bit earlier. But in the end, you see that logistics and production are getting closer. And therefore, we also expect orders which are closer to coming from the production than only on the warehouse side. So Swisslog very strategically rational, fully intact, and on the right direction. On the system,
And I mean, if we see the current transactions in the market that Kion is buying a logistics company and Intelligrated was bought by Honeywell, that shows, I think, what Till mentioned and what we believed in when we did the deal with Swisslog 2 years earlier. With a much lower multiple, by the way.
Exactly, much lower multiple. On the system side, I think same here, the perspective, as mentioned, U.S. very strong, China also on a good way, and Europe picked up again at the beginning of the year. So on system, we have a good view on the call-off by the customers, and therefore we are also confident to get to the revenue level in the second half, and momentum automotive still unchanged. On CFIUS, as mentioned, we are talking to all regulatory boards, and you know, we are confident to get all the closing conditions, and the team is working on this. And you know, I think it's focus of the legal and the transaction team, but we are confident that we get all the regulations within the time frame.
Maybe as a follow up, did you already benefit from Daimler's major investment initiative? Obviously, they are spending massively this and next year. Is that something that you saw reflected already? Is that something that gives you the confidence also for the second half? And again, you know, coming back to my book-to-bill question, what would I guess you probably foresee a positive one for this year, I guess.
Yeah, so Daimler's already sometime in the books, but we see further stimuli. We expect something around 1 0.07, so closer to 1.1, but we expect something around 1.1.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. Yeah, clear. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Sebastian Gruy from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. The first one is on the order intake again, follow up on Sven's question. Can you just walk us a bit through really the drivers in particular, which have been driving the very, very good order intake development in the second quarter? Comment on also the large order contribution, especially at the systems business. And in that respect, could you also comment on the regional development here to just get a better understanding what the key drivers were behind this strong order intake, as I said before. Then on the order backlog conversion, and after the systems business has been down about 10-11% on an organic basis, excluding the divested businesses, can you just share with us your expectation for the full year? What do you think is realistic in terms of total growth on an organic basis for the business? And the same question then also applies to Swiss Lock, where I think the first half was a bit light in terms of the sales recognition, obviously, and you were talking about the phasing. You can also share with us your thoughts on the full-year organic growth rate at Swiss Lock. Thank you.
And then I will start with the drivers of order intake. I think one clear order is automation. Automation really is what our customers need to as an enabler to be more efficient in their plants and their production, and that is what KUKA stands for in robotics and in at our systems segment. That for sure is a driver, and then from my point of view, it's the KUKA brand, and that we are really well known as a very good executor of the projects. And by the way, the Swiss Lock project, the bigger one, Swiss Lock only got because there was KUKA in the back, I think. So I think it's the KUKA brand and the team and automation. And if you look at it from a regional point of view, then it's America. A lot we got in America in Q2, and it looks that will continue. Especially at systems, and then in China. China again had a super growth rate. The order intake in China was around 280 million in the first half of the year over all our segments, and that is more than 40% more than last year.
Okay, interesting. Thank you for this. Can you just give us an idea on the Americas exposure then at systems, because you highlighted this, and then also come back to my question on the organic growth rate expectation for both systems and Swiss Lock for the full year?
Yeah, in the U.S., I think it's – I don't have the figure here at hand. We had double-digit growth rate there too, for sure.
Okay, and yeah, finally then
20%, something like that.
Okay.
And I think, as I mentioned also, in China, we are now at approximately 20% of order intake is coming from China, which is very positive. I mentioned the number on the robotic side, which is now going to 30%, up from 15% in 2009. And I think that's something where, but you know, it's regional. You cannot, if you look at each single quarter by region, it doesn't reflect the trend is that we are going to grow in the U.S. and in China. In Europe, we are more flattish, and we stick to the guidance of 3 billion, which is driven by all divisions. We expect more growth from Swiss Lock as in the last year.
Yeah, and organic growth, yeah, it will be more than, it will be double digit, our order intake growth for the full year. We will be around 3.2 billion, I think, in the end.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Lucy Carrier from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for taking my question. Actually, I still have a couple. The first one is just trying to clarify on the media situation. I remember seeing in your investor agreement with them that they were stating a lack of willingness of seeking domination. I was wondering if, from your perspective, this is implying a certain threshold in terms of shareholding, i.e., after a certain amount of shareholding, you would consider that there is some sort of domination from the company. So that's question number one. The second one is actually.
I didn't get really the. So we have an agreement with 7.5 years, mm-hmm. which excludes a domination agreement. So the agreement is independent of any shareholding. So also, if they would get 99.9%, we would not have a domination agreement for the next 7.5 years. So this is the agreement is not anticipating any shareholding, any threshold, independent of any shareholding, huh?
But just so I understand well, I mean, if they hold 99.9%, how are they not, kind of dominating your shareholding de facto?
That's right, but just, there is, I think it's very important that you, the one fact is really the shareholding they have, and the other topic is about the supervisory board and mm-hmm. domination agreement as defined by law. And I think it's something where, they all state that they have is some influence of the supervisory board. So, and that's very important. The agreement we have with Midea is independent of the shareholding, but clearly, on the factual basis, if they have 99%, they are the biggest shareholder. So, but that's exactly the reason why we have the agreement, that the agreement is in the end independent of any shareholding.
Yeah, and in the German supervisory board, we have 12 seats, and half mm-hmm. of them are reserved for our employee side.
Sure.
So then there they would be maximum six seats free, which is 50%.
Understand. So just then maybe to come back to the comment you made this morning on the press call, where you were mentioning that there could be an outcome where Midea would kind of sell some of their shares. Are you still looking for another investor or maybe a capital increase? This is just headline I've seen this morning. So
yeah. No, but Lucy, let me start the way to put it, the way I was mentioning it. So, we are in the middle of the process of the takeover offer by Midea. They have today 86%, and we assume that they're going further up, so likely above 90. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one topic in which we are in the middle of the process, so we have to wait what is coming out here. The second statement I made on the call was that I still, and unchanged, I have a big interest of people in KUKA. Huh?
Yeah.
And they are family offices, they are institutional investors, lots of conference. People are interested in KUKA's growth path and would like to benefit in the development of KUKA. And that's unchanged and even got stronger in the last month. And there's no change due to the offer by Midea. But there are two facts. And now the question is, which I cannot answer, so I don't assume that Midea is selling off shares. That is, you have to ask Midea. But secondly, clearly, if there is a big interest, we also have the opportunity, would have the option to increase or to do further share increase. But that's something we have to discuss in the next coming quarters. What is the growth path? How can we accelerate growth? That are all, now we're talking about opportunities. I can just say, which is a very, very positive, we still have big demand for meetings, lots of investors calling up and want to participate in the KUKA story.
I understand. Thank you. Thank you for that. Regarding my second question, this is more on the trends in the automotive industry. I mean, I understand that in the first half it's still been very strong, but I just wanted to come back to kind of more your medium-term outlook, so not maybe your outlook for the second half, but we've seen Ford last week announcing that they were cutting their CapEx by 10%, and this morning Continental, when they reported their results, they were not very bullish in terms of auto production for the second half of the year. So how much more visibility do you have on the automotive end market, on the medium term?
I don't have seen the Conti numbers this morning, but what we see that Daimler just announced a big program. Yeah, so we benefit also from Daimler. And, we are big with Ford in the U.S. and globally. So we do see automotive be stable on a high volume or high on a high level. There might be, particular customers on our side which have also their kind of specific topics which they have to handle with. But we see overall that we are positive, and we see that U.S. is 2016-17 very, very positive. We also see that some new players like Tesla are coming stronger to the market. We see that local companies in China are going to further automate. So we see on a global level an ongoing stable demand on the automotive side. And, you know, we don't expect any change in the second half, and only also for 17 we don't see a big change in automotive.
Okay,
which
thank
is now
you.
We are driven by the CapEx, not by the OpEx, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes also if there is less need for production, you know, there's also some adjustment made on the CapEx. That's what we're seeing with Ford, for instance, to some extent.
If you come like Dürr and others, you know, we are all same, and they're all very still very positive on the automotive.
Okay. And just maybe my last question was on the robotics margin. I understand that there has been kind of more R&D, also some of higher number of employees, notably in China. So I had two questions related to that. The first one is, can you kind of indicate qualitatively, on the robotics margin, how much the drop, the 80 bips drop in the margin, how much was due to mix, how much was due to higher R&D, and how much to higher SG&A? And then on SG&A specifically, I mean, the increase in the second quarter is quite notable. How should we think about this line in the future? I mean, was that just a large recruitment one-off in the second quarter, or should we expect, that number to compound going forward?
Yeah, robotics margin, that is the one thing is the pressure from the market for sure. Yeah, and then there comes some FX headwind, and then that we invest into sales team and into industry 4.0, that were some million, and in R&D. The SG&A was exactly the same amount. That did not increase.
You know, I think it's, Lucy, you try to now to reflect the development, the mix, and the R&D on the future potential. But we have also, and I think it's not like a black and white, so clearly if you see the general industry service part increased, then we have a positive margin impact. We decided we put more R&D on, like 10 million, and for the whole group 20 million, which is very much going into robotics. So there you can have an unaffected EBIT margin of robotics if you take out some stuff. Also take into account that we have now order intake of 30% in China, coming from 15%. So I think there are some impacts which are going to accord respective different other direction. And as Peter mentioned, you have some on top effects like FX, and therefore I think it's difficult to get kind of a straight number which what the impact is.
I see. And just maybe on your comment in China, I mean, are you kind of suggesting that the raising business that you have in China maybe is slightly adverse to the margin in robotics?
No, that's not so. Nein.
Okay.
The margin in China is not different to the European margin or the American margin.
Okay. And just on the SG&A expense, so if it didn't go into robotic, in the increase that we've seen in SG&A year on year, if it's not going into robotics, to which division was it more impactful then?
Then perhaps we had a misunderstanding. I thought you are asking about the margin of robotics and the SG&A of robotics. That is clearly the same number, exactly the same million amount. But the SG&A overall for Kuka Group was increasing quite a lot. Did you ask for the Kuka Group SG&A?
Well, I was thinking that maybe some of the large increase of SG&A had impacted robotics, but I understand it's not the case.
Oh, that's not the case. Yeah. We had in the group some projects. IT, we mentioned earlier that we have some millions that we moved to our new technology center and had some for the fairs. We were at the two fairs in the first half of the year, at the Automatica and the Hannover fair. That was more SG&A we had to spend there, but not at robotics.
I see. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Oliver Gleeson from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning or good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to find out if you could confirm whether you filed for regulatory approval in any of the geographies. I mean, in the offer doc, you preferred to filing by the end of July, places like the EU, US, Russia, etc. I just wanted to see if you could provide any details in case we've missed any.
No, I think, as I mentioned, that we have filed all relevant regulatory with all the bodies. We are in contact with them, but I cannot give you, and I did not want to give you any further information. Yeah, so we are in contact, and we are doing our homework here. And I think, as we mentioned, we believe everything is manageable, and we are on a good path to get all approvals until the end of the term.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. That's star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Jahar Hargogi from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Jay Hingarani. Thanks for taking the question. Don't mean to belabor the Medea point, but just a quick question. At what level of ownership are these? Did you mention 3 seats? Because I think it's out of the 12 on the supervisory board, 6 is employees, and of the remaining 6, they have 50%. At what level of ownership does that kick in? Meaning, you know, the 90 could go down to 70 and they still hold those 3 seats. Can you just give me some clarification on that?
You know, now I think it's very early, and it's lots of, you know, I think what Videa was confirming to us, independent of any threshold, and it's coming back to Lucy's topic, independent if they are 40, 50, 70, 80, they were telling us they want to have a fair representation in the supervisory board. And I think that we have to now take up with Medea, what is a fair representation? You know, we have, out of the 12 people, we have 6 from the employee side, which are not to be discussed, so they are standing members of the supervisory board, and the 6 from the shareholder side, there will be clearly, Medea will send out their people, and they want to have a fair share in this group, and I think that's something where we are going to discuss in September and onwards how many people they're going to send.
Okay, fair enough. And then if I could just ask on the call-outs that you mentioned, what is the visibility there? I mean, are these sort of already scheduled in the second half, or could there be some kind of push?
I didn't understand the quote for the call-outs.
The call-outs for the second half?
Can you
give us some clarity? I'm sorry if I missed this, clarity on that in terms of further push-outs to those aid deadlines and so on, or is it kind of pretty much you have good visibility there?
You mean now on the orders on the revenue side?
Yes.
No, on the revenue side, as mentioned, Swisslog, the order intake picked up in the fourth quarter of 15. Oh. And Swisslog, we have 9 to 12 months of project running. That means, you know, they are really kicking in now in the second half of 16 in Swisslog due to the order intake picking up only end of year 2015. And systems, we have a good visibility on which customers are calling off their project in the second half of 2016. Therefore, we have good visibility on single customer project, and therefore we can confirm also our guidance of 3 billion for the whole group for 2016.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Graham Phillips from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Graham Phillips from Jefferies. Just a question on Swisslog. Can you give us a bit of indication about which region, which end market the order that you referred to is in? I understand you don't want to talk about the customer specifically. And also a follow-up to that, in terms of the margin, and you referred to the KUKA Dematic deal, but I understand that is a much
not
higher
KUKA,
margin.
Not KUKA. Keon.
Kion domestic. That's a much higher margin business, sort of 9 to 10%, and you're talking sort of 2 to 3% margins. Is there any fundamental reason why the margins are lower in the business? And again, I appreciate there's a large order coming, but is there any fundamental reason why the end markets you're operating are perhaps more competitive, or you've got more, less value added in the business compared to, say, domestic?
Mm-hmm. Fair question. You know, the big order came from the U.S. And what we are seeing is that the U.S. market is a very strong logistics market, and also we see that for whole cooker, U.S. as a market is very interesting to further grow in 16 and 17. Besides U.S., we see a big growth in Asia and China in particular, and Europe is more like we see a pickup of order intake, but the price level is not as good as in the U.S. And therefore, I think if you look at the Dematic margin, which are above 8 and above 8% EBIT, we believe that once, and that's also the way, reason why we bought Swisslog. Swisslog is, on the one hand, with their 400, respective 200 million in warehouse and in healthcare, a smaller player, and with Kuka's help, we want to grow the company. So Dematic is something like 2.5 revenue of, I think now 5 billion, so much bigger. It means they, I think Dematic is 2 billion, a little bit above 1 billion, I think, so they are much bigger than we are, 1.5. Don't have the exact number. But so I think if Swisslog gets bigger, one is the scale impact. And the second piece, really, the regional mix. So I think we will benefit from stronger business in the U.S. and Asia. And clearly the goal is for Swisslog also to go above 5%. And we indicate in our last call that Swisslog, we believe that the margin of up to 8% is possible, which really is reflected in the Dematic numbers. So this is the case which we made when we were buying Swisslog. And we are on the path to develop Swisslog in a direction, get it bigger, get more products, and getting to the same margin profile as Dematic.
Yeah, and Till mentioned already in his speech that we invested into R&D at Swisslog. Without such investments, we would be at 4% currently.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, now I understand. I'm sorry.
So, but clearly, the goal is long-term, therefore we have to invest more product, and I think the big differentiator of Kuka and Swisslog is that we can offer this combination of robotic-based solutions for logistics industries, and I assume that in the logistics industry, the degree of automation is not as advanced in other industries. So this is a big potential of us with the two brands, Kuka and Swisslog, to benefit from the convergence of logistics and production. And I think that's also now what the deal behind Kion and Dematic and also Honeywell and Intelligrated show, that logistics is getting more important, and we believe there's a big, how called, big potential for business in automating logistics streams.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of the end market in the U.S. that the order was in, you able to give us any idea there?
You know, I think Swisslog is very much in the, you know, helping on the automotive side. We are in pharma and then we are in retail, so it's much broader, but you know, it's more in the general industry segment, yeah?
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Sven Weiser from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one follow-up question, please, because one of the ideas with Midea and Potentials was also you automating their logistics centers, so I was just wondering, you know, if you see that part of the business already picking up this year already, or is that something more for your medium-term expectation?
Medium-term. So, you know, clearly, we had discussion with Midea already before the offer on the operation level, but that's something medium-term, and it's an ongoing business because, as I remembered, I think they have 5 million square meter of called logistics and storage space. This can be automated, and it will be a path, medium to long term, that we have ongoing business and increasing business with Midea once the offer is closed.
And them also, I mean, I think one thing they said was also that they are able to broaden your client reach for the robotics business in China. I guess those initiatives then also come a bit later, and your strong growth rates in China are still on the back of your former measures, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. So I think now until closing, nothing is happening. It's very important. We will talk, we will meet, but I think first next step is to get the closing, and then we have different shareholder structure, and then we have also can go in more detailed discussion. Today, we are in a kind of interim phases. The first offer, the first phase ended, now the second phase ended. Now we have to see the number of shares, and then, you know, all the authorities have to decide, and then we get closing. So I think now we are in the interimistic phase and have to get to the next level.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone. There are currently no questions in the queue at this time. I will turn the call back to your host.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for your questions. If you have further questions, please contact us. And, yeah, we wish you a great summertime.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude today's call, and you may now all disconnect.